Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. I hope you had an amazing weekend. Hope your week's off to a good start. It's going to be a great week. It's going to be a great day and a great week. Let's get some. Program brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. All right, telephone number is 1-800-636-8686. If you want to be passive about this, if you want to lay out, you want to wait and hear what I have to say, that's fine. I'm here for it. That's what they pay me to do. However, if you don't need my take and you want to jump right in, call me right now. Phone lines are open. The first segment is wide open. The segment after the first segment is wide open as well. Our first interview is at 9:40 Pacific. We're talking hockey, NHL on NBC broadcaster. Pierre McGuire is back. I got to admit, I hit that pretty hard. Pierre comes on throughout the postseason because he's as good as anybody breaking it down. We're in the Stanley Cup Finals, so Pierre McGuire coming up later on this hour. Second hour is wide open. We have two interviews in hour number three. Chris Mannix joins us. He's on the boxing beat. He's on the NBA beat. Both big weekends for both sports. We'll run him down at the top of hour number three. San Diego Padres first baseman Eric Hosmer in hour number three. 18 days until Smackoff 25, which means we are into Smackoff month officially, and another Smackoff player profile. Friday was one of the all-time great non-Smackoff days, and I want to reset that too. So in other words, there's a lot going on in sports. There's a lot going on within the program itself. It's going to be a good Jungle Monday. Let me start with last night's matchup in Toronto. See, last night is exactly why you do not want to overreact to one game in the NBA Finals, especially one game involving the champs, one game involving the Golden State Warriors. This is why you don't freak out and panic and rush Kevin Durant back to the court for game two before he's ready. This is why you don't bury the Warriors before they're dead, because of what they just did in last night's 109-104 win over Toronto. That was up there with Houston in Game 7 last year, or Houston in Game 5 this year, or Houston in Game 6 this year, or OKC back in the day. What I'm saying is, undermanned, busted up, backs against the wall, trailing by 11 with less than 2 minutes to go in the first half. And then they do what they do. They man the hell up. They come through in the clutch. And as cliche as it sounds, man, that's some championship grit right there. Golden State has it. Toronto doesn't, at least not yet. Golden State's been there before, won there before. Toronto hasn't. Both teams looked like it last night, especially in that second half. Listen, there may come a point in time where Golden State can't dig deep. Golden State doesn't pull it off. Except last night was not that time. Now, that doesn't mean that it started well for them, because it didn't. They were in trouble, legitimate trouble. Durant was still out. DeMarcus Cousins was in the starting lineup. And after a really lackluster return in Game 1, he picked up two quick fouls in Game 2. And he was not the only one dinged. Andre Iguodala looked like he was fighting his leg in the first half. Now, you know who wasn't fighting his leg in the first half? Pascal Siakam. One of the big questions heading into Game 2 was, could Siakam duplicate his freaky Game 1 effort? Do that, and the Dubs would be in really big trouble. And early on, it looked like he could, and that they might be.
Alfonso McKinney into the game, and he turns it over. Picked off by Marc Gasol down the floor. Look out! Fred VanVleet threw it up to Pascal Siakam, who scraped the ceiling with his knuckles and threw down a one-hand cram.
Turn back the clock. It filthy much. He didn't just catch that above the cylinder. He caught that above the box. Hell, it looked like he caught it above the whole damn backboard. So that barn was rocking right after that, and for good reason. Because Toronto eventually got it up to 12. They got their lead up to 12 in the first half. They had everything going. Double-digit lead. Golden State was on the ropes. Steph Curry was not right. He was sick. You could see it. Iggy was banged up. Then Kevon Looney hit the deck hard after Kawhi Leonard's drive, and he had to leave the game. But somehow the Warriors were able to cut it to 5 going into halftime. And then something happened at halftime. I'm not sure what that is. What happened at halftime, I'm not sure we'll ever know, but I want some of that. They should bottle it because Golden State came out a totally different team. DeMarcus Cousins did not look like the DeMarcus Cousins who was coming off a pair of brutal injuries. Instead, he looked like NBA All-Star DeMarcus Cousins. Now, before I get further into that third quarter anvil that Golden State dropped on Toronto's head, how about a moment for Boogie? How about a moment for DeMarcus Cousins? Because after game one, it did not look like he was going to be a factor in this series. Not because he's not a very good player, but because he was coming off a pair of terrible injuries. I thought the guy would be a non-factor, especially watching him in game one and thinking what they were asking him to do, but I was wrong. He was very much a factor last night. 11 points, 10 boards, 6 assists, 2 blocks, and maybe most of all, a hell of a lot of pride. That is a proud, proud dude who's out there. He busted his ass to get back to play in the finals, and he wasn't happy just to get that participation ribbon. He wanted to earn it. He wanted to be trusted. He didn't just want to be out there. He wanted to be out there making a difference. As Draymond Green told The Athletic last night, quote, he texted me after game one. He said, yo, I've been waiting on this moment. I'm ready for the moment. You got to trust me. Well, coach showed the trust, and we all trusted him, and he played big for us, end quote. Here's something else from Draymond. Quote, DeMarcus is one of the ultimate competitors. Part of the reason people don't really understand him is that people do not compete like he competes at the level he competes at, end quote. So what that is the very definition of game respecting game. Two of the ultimate competitors respecting each other and playing alongside each other. Cousins was a force last night. And then something really crazy happened as they both left their respective locker rooms for the second half. Golden State goes on one of their patented third quarter runs. And then all of a sudden, Andre Iguodala is healed, miraculously. Andrew Bogut comes in for Looney, and he's throwing down alley-oops. Curry and Klay were killing it. Draymond was everywhere. The entire crew was locked in on defense. How locked in? An 18-0 run to start the half. Toronto didn't score for the first 5:40 of the second half. The transition defense that Steve Kerr described as, quote, awful in game one was, quote, championship in game two. And the guy's right. There were so many clutch moments because as the Raptors were coughing the ball up, guys like Quinn Cook were making them pay. Hell yes, I said Quinn Cook. How clutch was Cook? 3 of 5 from deep. Absolutely fearless. This guy was a freaking boss. This cat looks for his shot with the same confidence Steph and Klay do. Don't get it twisted. I'm not saying he's them. I'm not saying he's one of them. I'm saying he may actually have their confidence. And when they needed him most last night, Cook delivered. If last night had not been the DeMarcus Cousins game, it would have been the Quinn Cook game. Both of them showed out. And they had to because it was about to get worse for Golden State. Klay went down with that hamstring injury. And at that point, you got to start wondering, man, is there a curse here? What the hell is going on? KD is injured. Klay is injured. Curry is sick. Iggy's injured. Cousins is injured. Looney is injured. And all that talk about Golden State being lucky when it came to injuries in the past, what all came back on them last night. And despite all that, they made their run. And despite the run, they were in trouble again. Points were hard to come by. The Raptors went to that box and won. I mean, I could go on for days about the coaching adjustments both those coaches made. A box and one? A box and one. Steph had to be like, am I back at Davidson? A box and one. And it worked. Golden State couldn't score. Could not score. They had 106 points with 5:39 left in the game, and then they went scoreless the next 5.5 minutes. Problem is, the Raptors were not exactly lighting it up either. But they kept chipping away, and then Danny Green did this.
Leonard into the lane, stops on a dime, right hand hook too strong. Gasol taps it out. Siakam out to Green for three. Bust it! Danny Green from the left wing buries the east side triple. Raptors down two.
And that's brass. That is brass for a guy who had not been hitting much of anything to step up and knock in that three ball. Now you've got a 2-point game. with just over a shot clock's worth of time left in the game. And all of a sudden, Toronto could actually come back and rip this thing, steal this thing, retake control of the series. Golden State had never been down 2-0 in the Steve Kerr era. Then they would have to beat Toronto 4 out of 5 and do it busted up and without the home court. They literally were in danger of letting Toronto off the hook, letting it all slip away. Fortunately for the Dubs, that green shot was just the prologue to this.
Cross court to Livingston. Good catch. Goes to Andre. He's open. Launches a three. Buried it! He buried it with 5.9 to go! Clutch shot by Andre Iguodala. Timeout Toronto with 5.9 left.
Warriors Radio. It's incredible. Andre Iguodala, if you need him. Sean Livingston. Man, there are so many amazing things about that last sequence. Sean Livingston came to the pass, caught it with two hands, snatched it away from Kawhi, and then set up Iggy for that shot with a no-look pass. He went no-look with 10 seconds to go in a finals game. And as for Iggy, man, those aren't stones now. Those are freaking church bells. Maybe you don't leave that guy, that wide ass open in that situation, or that is going to happen. This is why the Golden State Warriors are the Golden State Warriors, and that's why you don't panic, and that's why you don't count them out after one game. Because without KD and Klay and Looney, and with Curry sick and Cousins injured and Iguodala injured, they still find a way. That's why they're champions. Freaking champions. World freaking champions.
World champion. World champion.
That's why you don't bury them until they're dead. And now we got a completely different series. I want to talk about what happened in Toronto. I want to address that truly, truly whack take that Toronto did not win because they didn't want it badly enough.
That's whack.
It's just such a bad take. That's not why they didn't win. It's a bad, bad take. A lazy take. That is not why they didn't win. Also, I want to talk about how Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson were waiting outside the locker room to welcome all their guys back, which I thought was awesome, only to turn around and leave, but then come back when they found out that Drake was happening by. And then they busted him up. Klay called him a, quote, bum ass. And then they said, we'll see you in Oakland, Aubrey. I don't know which part of that I like better. Bum ass is awesome. But then again, so is Aubrey-ing Drake. At Hitman Canadian tweets, perhaps the only redeeming thing to come from the Warriors' win was shutting Drake up for once. He's a national embarrassment. That's coming from a Canadian. And Mike D for 3 tweets. Do you think the 0 on Boogie's jersey is representative of his favorite number or because it symbolizes a donut?
Hey, Phil boy, I got some donuts for you.
Another terrible take. Hey, listen, I'm not going to say that we didn't play that soundbite because that was one of the great heckles of all time.
Krispy Kreme, fat boy.
What I'm saying to you is, respect the big man. He was awesome last night. And they had to have it. They don't win if he doesn't play like that. And that's a game they had to have. And that's a game that Toronto might regret letting get away from them forever. I mean, forever.
Fat boy, how many you got, baby?
Let me tell you about that guy. He busted his ass to get back in that situation. Hey, one more thing. Toronto, Raptor fan, that was a gut punch. That was a really bad loss. Let me be very clear about this. I said the series was not over after game one. And I'm going to say right now, this series is not over after game two. But you better show up the right way in game three.
Fat boy!
Boogie was great last night. So good. Quinn Cook was unbelievable last night. Klay was unbelievable before he got hurt. And he says he will go in game three. Ed Pauly T. Wall tweets, I figured Boogie would be a non-factor. Yours, Silk, in the smack-off.
Brah,
he won it all. Brah, Silk actually won that thing once. Brah. Again, I thought that Boogie would be a non-factor. Not because I don't think that Boogie is one of the best bigs in the NBA. He is. I just thought it was too much to ask. He was coming off two really bad injuries, and he was a non-factor in game one. This guy played 27 minutes last night. All right, then. Pierre McGuire coming up at 40 past. We've got an open segment coming up next. A lot more to talk about, too. 1-800-636-8686. This Father's Day, give Dad a shirt from Untuck It. You know, the shirts that are specifically designed to be worn untucked. Untuck It shirts have that just right untucked length so Dad can always look sharp and feel casual. Untuck It shirts are a go-to for any occasion from casual to dressy. Untuck It has more than 50 fit combinations so tall, short, slim, and bigger dads can experience the perfect fitting shirt. Not only do they look good, they feel amazing. Even the wrinkle-free options. Not sure exactly what Untuck It item to get him? Then go to Untuckit.com. See all their great Father's Day gift ideas. Use the promo code ROME20 and get 20% off your first purchase. You can also visit Untuck It at one of 60 retail stores across the country to get your perfect fit. Get fast, free shipping and returns on every order in the U.S. at Untuckit.com. Remember, use that promo code ROME20. Get 20% off your first time purchase in store or at Untuckit.com. Untuck It for Father's Day. Dad will love it. Untuckit.com. Promo code ROME20. Take your 20% off.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
All right, so what did I say last segment? I said it was a great sports weekend, and there's a lot to cover. And I said there is a lot of things going on about the show within the show. Both those things are true. Apparently, my man, DA, has devoted a chunk of his show to lighting up Matt in L.A., much like he devoted part of this show to lighting up Matt in L.A. on Friday. I mentioned this past Friday was one of the best non-Smack-Off days we've ever had. It jumped the weekend. Alien OG tweets, DA just set the date for Matt in LA's extermination. Can't wait. Dude's going to get obliterated into space dust. War DA. Meantime, Matt in LA knows. It's worked its way back to Matt in LA. Matt in LA tweeted in response, DA better watch out. The only way DA could end me is if I were a lead pipe and DA decided to chew me up with his titanium teeth. Stay ready, DA. I'm coming for you like 50-gallon cavity fillings. That's a serious beef. All right, so I'll reset that. I'm actually listening to some of the sound right now of what DA had to say. You know, it's the middle of the night. You're tossing, you're turning, you're not sleeping, you're drenched, you're covered in sweat. I mean, sure, you could run the AC if you want, or the fan, it might help a bit. But if you want to sleep really cool and comfortably, get rid of your heat-trapping mattress, get yourself a Casper. The Casper mattress combines four layers of pressure-relieving foams for all-night comfort. It is softer under your shoulders, it is firmer under your hips for healthy alignment and extra support. Plus, breathable foams are designed to keep you cool all night long, all summer long. Casper also has free shipping and returns, so you'll be able to try your Casper mattress for 100 nights risk-free in your own home. That's the best way to buy a mattress. Go to Casper.com, use the code ROME, get $100 towards the purchase of select mattresses. Casper.com, code ROME, get $100 off towards the purchase of select mattresses. Additional terms and conditions do apply. See Casper.com/terms. To the phones in a minute. However, one more note for you. Smack-Off 25 is June 21st. It is proudly presented by my pals at Vivid Seats. This year, Vivid Seats is giving every Smack-Off caller that makes the air on June 21st $50 towards the purchase of seats on VividSeats.com or the Vivid Seats app. From the biggest concerts to the best games of the summer, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the Vivid Seats app or visit VividSeats.com. Another reason to try and get a golden ticket. If you get in the field, you get on the air, you get that $50 prize. And you get to compete for the $5,000 prize. And the chance to be a legend. Let's go to New York. John in New York generally has my back.
Hey, John.
Generally brings me some intel that I may or may not have. Let's find out. What's going on, John? How are you?
Hey, Jim. Good morning. If people aren't aware that you're a miracle worker, you made Mattinelli a star, and he's driving the ratings on DA's show right now. But, Matt, don't worry. DA's probably a little jealous you've held up more gas stations than he has listeners. I'm not going to stand by and let him take a dump on America's favorite parolee. A hack is someone to me, Jim, is someone who has a row of headstones in his mouth, does a sports talk show from an imaginary spaceship, and whose EP makes Rick and Buffalo look like Miss America. Jim, you know that's hard to do. Take the mothership back to Roswell, dumbass. There's a seat for you waiting next to Planet Eisenhower in the control room on the Jim Rome Show, where your brand will get more exposure than it's ever had. If you're lucky, you might wind up on Brad's thong. Jim, warn me being a proud member of the lowest common denominator in the jungle. Thanks a lot, Jim. I'm out, buddy.
John in New York. Rack him. John is one of my favorite East Coast guys. Like, the second we threw this show up on CBS Sports Network, my man John in New York locked right in, started to call. Hey, bro, I'm never going to tell you what to think. I'm never going to tell you what to say. Dude, what are you doing going in on my guy DA like that? It's a big DA house. I'm all about DA, and I'll tell you why that is. Very smart, very talented, love the kid's process, works it hard, cares about the show, grinds. It's about the right stuff, man. And he's a good dude. Wait, are you going to blame this guy for having a good mouthful of teeth? Isn't that what everybody wants? When is that a bad thing? When did that become a bad thing? Well, my man's got all his teeth, and they're all white. Damn! Drop the mic on that. Dude has made himself what he is. A very successful broadcaster and entertainer that people are watching and listening to. Big DA house right here. I love the guy. Let the record reflect it. I respect him. I love the guy, and I like the way he handles his business. By the way, and I'm not even saying it, just like everybody else on this freaking network, all right? Really good hosts, really good guys, all pros. I've been in a lot of places, on a lot of stations, and I cannot say that about everywhere I've been. I can say it here. These are all good dudes, all good people. So what's going on with DA? Apparently DA rolled out this morning and thought to himself, I think I'll smash Matt again.
Matt in LA keeps hitting me up on Twitter. He keeps calling the show. Matt, you're not getting on. It's not happening. This fight doesn't spill into the streets. This fight is in the ring. You started it, and I'm ending it, June 21st. I didn't come after you. I didn't even really know who you were. You came after me. And so I responded. I thought it was over, and apparently it's not. Well, on Friday, June the 21st, it's over. I will make sure it's over because there will be nothing left of your body except vaporized rubble. I've got plenty of ammo. I know exactly what I want to do. Vaporizing will be complete, and then we can all move on with our lives. But I'm ending this on June the 21st. But we're not doing this on my show. And I don't care how much you badger me on social media, it's not going to work. Save it. I'll see you on June the 21st. I've got bigger fish to fry until then.
D.A. That was D.A. from the mothership earlier this morning talking about Matt in L.A. saying, hey, Matt, you can keep coming at me on social. You can keep coming at me on my show. We're not doing this here. Quote, the fight's not going to spill out into the street. I will see you on the 21st, and then the, quote, vaporization will be complete. I want to talk about Ruiz and Joshua. What an amazing fight that was. Amazing. I'll have that a little bit later on. When we come back, though, we talk hockey. Pierre McGuire, NHL on NBC broadcaster, joins me next. Second hour is wide open for all those things. All of those things. The Smackoff player profile today is of Rick in Buffalo. Wait for that. Here's your bottom of the first hour sports update.
Live. Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
More on game two of the NBA Finals. Like I said, that series was not over after one game. It's not over after two games, but Toronto is going to rue letting that get away, I think. But it's not over. Let me switch up on you now from the NBA Finals to the Stanley Cup Final. We are joined by an NBC hockey analyst, a former scout and assistant coach with the Penguins, part of the organization's back-to-back Stanley Cups. He also spent time with the Whalers and the Senators organizations. He is a Sports Emmy Award winner. Named as a member of the Hockey Hall of Fame Selection Committee last year, he is a very good friend of the program. He is Pierre McGuire. Pierre, good to have you back. How you holding up? How are you?
I'm doing great, Jim. Awesome to visit with you.
All right, you too, Pierre. So the last time you and I spoke, it was during San Jose-St. Louis, and you were laying out the hunger in St. Louis and the passion that you were feeling from that fan base. What was the mood like in the city and in the arena before Game 3?
Off the charts. As wild a crowd as I've witnessed this playoff season, the only thing that would have been close to it would have been Game 3 of the Washington-Carolina series in Carolina, which was just off the charts. But this one was right up there before Game 3 of the Stanley Cup Final. And obviously there was some disappointment afterwards, but I still think this series has a long way to go before it's decided.
All right, so we talk about what happened last night, Pierre. You've got Patrice Bergeron scoring just over 10 minutes into the game. First off, what did you make of the goal, and then what did that do to the crowd?
Well, it took the crowd out of it, number one. Number two, Patrice had probably his best game of the Stanley Cup Final. There were a lot of people wondering whether he, Brad Marchand, David Pastrnak would ever get going offensively, but they found a way to get going offensively in game number three, and Bergeron was a big part of it. In game two, he won 35% of his faceoffs. You know, in game three, he was a dominant faceoff player, and that first goal was off a faceoff win on a power play. So I've seen a lot of things in hockey, Jim, but I've never seen a team go 4-for-4 on a power play with only four shots on goal. That's one of those statistical anomalies that you're not used to seeing, and the Bruins were able to do that in Game 3, and Bergeron was a big part of it.
Pierre McGuire joining us. I was going to ask you about that. I want to reiterate that very quickly. Four power plays in Game 3. They score on all four power plays, and they did so on four shots. I've never even heard of anything like that. Penalties, Pierre, have hurt the Blues. How much of that is about them trying to maybe do too much, maybe rush things, and losing their discipline? What's that about?
Oh, I think you've got it nailed, Jim. Part of it is a lack of discipline. Part of it's obviously they want to be a robust physical team on the forecheck, and they've sometimes taken it to an extreme where they've gotten themselves into some penalty trouble. The hooking and the holding in the offensive zone when they're trying to establish forecheck is something they have to get out of their repertoire, and I think they will do that in Game 4. The one thing I really know about St. Louis and their team, how resilient they are and how disciplined they can be when they have to be, and I think they realize right now the margins are so slight, they have to maintain that discipline that you were alluding to.
Pierre McGuire joining us. All right, so if you're the St. Louis coaching staff, what is your number one message to the players before tonight? What is the key for them in this game?
We need to be fast. We need to be smart. But we need to get to Tuukka Rask early. We need to get bodies to the front of the net without taking penalties. But we need to get pucks on goal as the bodies get there. We need to score first. We need to dictate the terms. And the only way we're going to do that is by playing a fast game and a real smart forecheck game. And if they're able to do that, I think they can, you know, obviously force a Game 6 and potentially create some problems for the Bruins.
Game 4, Boston at St. Louis tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern. That game is on NBC. Pierre, you mentioned Rask. When you win a Stanley Cup Final game 7-2, there's going to be a whole lot of credit to go around. How much of it should go to Tuukka Rask?
A lot of it, Jim. I can tell you right now, in Game 3, you talked about the goal that Bergeron scored just after the 10-minute mark of the first period. The first 9 minutes of that period were dominated by St. Louis, and Tuukka Rask was exceptional. It wasn't just his initial puck stopping, Jim. It was his rebound control. He didn't allow second and third chance opportunities to take place because he was just so square to the shooters, and his rebound control was so darn good. And he had a lot of confidence in his team so he could take faceoffs because they were winning faceoffs, which is something they weren't able to do in Game 2. So Tuukka's been a huge part of it. I think right now if they were to take a vote on who's been the most influential player this playoff season for any team, Tuukka Rask would be the guy that would win it.
So, Pierre, go back. When you first saw him in 2006 at the World Junior Championships in Vancouver, what do you remember about seeing him back then? What stood out?
how tall and lanky he was and how athletic he was. He was goalie of the tournament for the Finns in that tournament. That was an outstanding tournament. Canada beat Russia in the final, and the Americans had a phenomenal team there that lost to Canada in the semi. But I would tell you this, is that the thing that stood out about Tuukka was just how tall and athletic and rangy he was, and his composure under fire. You're talking about 18- and 19-year-old kids playing in front of, you know, 18,000 people in an unbelievably hostile environment that was Vancouver, and he handled it fantastically well.
Pierre Maguire joining us here in the jungle. So on the other end of that spectrum, when you're Jordan Binnington and you give up five goals and you get pulled, you're going to take some blame. How much of that is about what he's not doing? And then, Pierre, how much of that is about what Boston is doing to him and forcing him to move side to side?
Oh, man, I'm so happy to hear you say that, Jim. You nailed it, because what Boston has done, and it's not easy to do in the NHL, is make east-west plays. They've done it with skating, and they've done it with passing. They've moved the puck from east to west. Most teams attack linearly, so they attack straight up and down the ice. Not Boston. They're going side to side and opening him up, and if you look at the propensity for them to shoot five-hole through his legs, it's been uncanny this series how they've been able to do that. So I think it's more about what Boston's doing, not so much about what Binnington's not doing. I give a lot of credit to Boston, and Binnington's going to have to find a way to tighten himself up when he moves from side to side.
Pierre Maguire joining us. Pierre, go back to Bergeron for a minute. There have been some speculation that he was hurt. I know you spoke to him about that. What was your sense to how hurt he might be?
I thought after game two he may have been really hurt, because he was having a really difficult time winning faceoffs, Jim, and he was getting cleaned out, and that's usually one of his strengths. He and Ryan O'Reilly are two of the better faceoff guys in the league. Obviously, O'Reilly playing for St. Louis, and he dominated. O'Reilly did in game two. He won 65% of his faceoffs. Bergeron won 35%. That's major, major stuff, especially with an elite player like Patrice. But then you watch him play on Saturday night in game three, and Jim, I have to tell you, he was off the charts good. He wasn't a little bit good. He was off the charts good. And at the end of the interview that I did with him, I had to ask him, I said, are you hurt? Because it sure didn't look like it. And he says, no, I feel fine. So he played like he was fine, too. He looked fantastic.
Game four tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern on NBC, Boston at St. Louis. Pierre, you want to talk about good. How do you explain what Zdeno Chara is doing at his age at this point in his career?
Yeah. It's hard to really fathom it. The one thing I could say for any young person that wants to be a professional athlete, this is a guy that once the season is over, he takes 2 weeks off, and then he's right back at training. And he's a maniacal trainer. He's just insanely intense. So it speaks to his living habits and how hard he prepares himself for the rigors of an NHL season. You know, they've cut his ice time down significantly. He used to be playing 26, 27, 28 minutes. Now he's around 21 minutes a game. That's helped him a lot. He doesn't play on the power play. That's helped him a lot. He's an elite penalty killer. It's phenomenal to watch him play, Jim. It really is.
We're breaking it all down. Well, Pierre Maguire is breaking it all down. So, Pierre, the Blues, as we know, have been down before, both in the season and in the series. How do you think they show up tonight?
I think they show up really well. I don't think they're going to disappoint their fan base and lay an egg like they did on Saturday night. But I think the biggest thing, Jim, is they've got to find a way to dent Tuukka Rask early. If they don't, it becomes a much more difficult equation for them to figure it out. The one thing I think to look for is Craig Berube making some subtle little line adjustments. Sammy Blais, who's been playing on the top line with Ryan O'Reilly and David Perron, I would look for him to move maybe deeper in the lineup. I'd look for maybe a Zach Sanford, who plays in game number two. I'd look for him to move up a little bit, and potentially Vince Dunn to go in on defense. So we'll see, but I do think there'll be some subtle little changes for the Blues going into game four.
You know, Pierre, before you go, this might be a little bit of inside radio or inside TV, but I mentioned you're a Sports Emmy Award winner. The crew that you have with NBC for these games is incredible, with you, Eddie, and Doc. How do you explain what makes this group so good?
We've been at it a long time. Doc and I have been together for 14 years. Doc, Eddie, and I have been together for 13 years. Everybody kind of just lays it out there. They all know their roles, and I think that's a big part of this. Sam Flood, our executive producer, when this all started, everybody had a clearly defined role, and they've chosen to accept their role. And it's just an unbelievable honor to work with Doc Emmerich every single year, Jim. I got to tell you, the man's a living legend, and he is as good or as good or better than anybody that's ever done this. He really is.
And then, Pierre, you're a huge guy in preparation. I'm curious, how do you go about preparing between now and the puck dropping tonight? What's your process?
I'm going to head to the gym right after. Then I'm going to get right to the rink. I'll be at the rink by 2:30 this afternoon, and I pretty much, because we had an off day yesterday, I'm pretty much prepared for what we need to do. But I'll get to the rink really early, and I'll talk to the trainers, and I'll talk to the referees, and I'll talk to the players that I see that want to talk. Most of them don't want to talk, but some of them do. And but more than anything else, I just like to get to the rink early. Jim, I'm a rink rat. That's just the way it is. I just like to get there early.
No doubt. You're definitely that. Maybe eat something green before the game?
Yeah. I'll definitely have some broccoli. You're on to me, Jim.
I like it. I want to be more like that. Pierre Maguire, NBC hockey analyst. And once again, you got game four, Boston at St. Louis tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern on NBC. Pierre, I always appreciate the conversation. Thank you so much.
Anytime, my friend. Thanks for having me on, Jim.
Great job, Pierre. Well done.
Game four, everybody. Thank you.
You got it. Game four tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern, NBC. Yeah, I'm guessing you did not have any other questions about that matchup. Like, Pierre covered everything. All right, so we're setting up a wide-open hour number two, 1-800-636-8686. Monday is an ATP day. That's what I'm saying, Alvin. You're on it. What's up, Ike? How you feeling, Mr. President? What's up, Mr. President? Even before Ike Eisenhower walked in the studio, Alvin was on that. It's Rit!
It's lit!
Doing his job. Booked another good guest for the Jim Rome podcast. My man Rex Chapman is making his debut on the podcast. That is tomorrow. Monday is an ATP day. Will you clones get to ask me a question? Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros. Submit a question. Listen later on today. I might answer yours. And in the meantime, you want to thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. Looking at Twitter, Mark in Boston. Mark in Boston is in on the DA v. Matt in L.A. beef. He tweets, DA wants none of this. War DA calling rotisserie chickens chicken wings. Tyler in Edmonton is in. He says, thanks to Vivid Seats, we will 100% be hearing from Broadway Vic. Yeah, whatever it takes to smoke this guy out. We have not heard from Vic. Tyler's point is, anytime I give away anything, Vic calls every single day until he wins. Haunted 00 Horse on Twitter. If I get 3 Smackoff calls through, that means I get a $150 gift card from Vivid Seats. Hawk, I want in. Hour 1, Hour 2, and Hour 3. Signed, Vic and NoCal. Yo, boss man. I love the way that geriatric caller Mona talks. Hook me up. Regards, Ike.
Look, I'm not going to pick on Lauren because I found out that her middle name is Emma. So she has to go through life known as Laurenima. And I saw that BIC's package was so big, I thought it had an elbow. That elbow belonged to Rich Flores.
No. Mona. You don't like that. Mona talking about, quote, the BIC's package. Mona said that. And referred to Lauren in Naples. She said, you know, I want to go in, but it wouldn't be right. I'm going to leave Laurenima alone. And then Mona got run when she went to a Rich Flores blast. Oh, and got a golden ticket. She got run, but she got a golden ticket.
Laurenima.
Laurenima. I don't really know how old Mona is, but it's kind of immaterial because she wanted to say something about Brad's package.
War Lady Clones.
War Lady Clones. All right, so hour number two is wide open. In that hour, I want to talk about Toronto, where the Raptors go from here, where Aubrey goes from here, and Ruiz Joshua. Amazing night at MSG, Saturday night. And the Smackoff 25 profile today, Rick in Buffalo. And I want to reset last Friday and what an amazing day that was. All that coming up. Stay tuned.